You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood.
Welcome to Satellite Sisters. I'm Leanne Dolan in Los Angeles. I'm a writer and producer, and I'm just happy to be here today with my big sisters, Julie and Liz. Liz, what's
getting
happening?
In the holiday spirit here, Leanne. I'm Liz Dolan. We're here in the Wondery Sunset Studios in West Hollywood, but I live in Santa Monica, the other end of town from Leanne. I'm an on-again, off-again corporate executive, but mainly a podcaster. Yeah, that's what I do.
Jewel?
Hey, I'm Julie Dolan. I'm the oldest sister. I'm back from Brooklyn, where can I just say that there's still way too much kale in Brooklyn. Okay, I know I digress, but I'm a podcaster, an empty nester, an urban nana with five grandchildren, and I got a new furry friend over here named Oliver.
How's the puppy doing?
How's he doing?
The puppy is good. The puppy is good. My training still could a little needs improvement. I want to just cave in, let him like jump on the couch and jump on the bed and do all the bad things. So it's all I can do because his cuteness is overwhelming. Yeah.
All right. Today on the show, we have a guest coming into the studio, which is exciting.
This is rare.
Just in time for your holiday entertaining, we have cookbook author and recipe developer Claire Tanzi. Her new book is called Uncomplicated, Taking the Stress Out of Home Cooking. We're excited to meet Claire and have her here. She's going to tell us what to make for some of those big meals that happen over the holidays. And we're going to get
beautiful
some
book.
Other tips from her.
It you is can do this, book. People. Yeah. Even I could do most of these.
You could, Liz.
Some of it, Liz. Yeah.
All right. We have an entertaining sisters today. I saw a great movie on Netflix I'm going to tell you about. It goes with along with the book, so I've got that. And I'm going to preview the new Jennifer Lopez film, Second Act.
Ooh, I can't wait to hear about that.
Yeah. Julie, you have the color of the year for us. And
it is. I mean, this is so wow. I can't even wait to tell you about the color of the year 2019. It's such exciting news. Okay.
And we're going to pay a tribute to Dr. P.M. Forney. He was a longtime guest on Satellite Sisters. He's recently passed away. He was a master of civility, a college professor who really felt so deeply about civility and speaking kindly to one another. He shared many wonderful thoughts with us on Satellite Sisters. Julie, you had a special relationship with Dr. P.M. Forney, so you're going to lead our tribute to Dr. Forney later on in the show. But first, Liz, what's happening?
Yeah.
What's
I happening? I have bad news about my right butt cheek, sisters. Butt cheek, bad news. Yeah.
What's going on, Liz?
Well, to back up, for those of you that
are up or down, as the case may be. Yeah.
So I've been in training in general as part of Operation Sea Turtle, which is just my basic health and wellness program. But also because Julie and I have an epic athletic adventure planned for 2019. So I thought, got to get myself in shape. And several months ago, I kind of did something to myself. I thought it was a hamstring situation. And then I thought it was my ankle. But I went to a physical therapist, and she said the problem was my glute, that my right glute is not firing, as they say. And there's also a non-medical term for this. Longtime Satellite sister Kathy Douglas said she had the same situation when she was training to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. She calls it asnesia. When you're
really
when part of your butt forgets to do what it's supposed to do, which is that's what was really happening. Anyway, so I've been going to physical therapy.
Okay. I'm just taking that in, taking that term.
You should write that down, Lee.
Nope. Going to let it go, Jewel. Taking it in, letting it go.
So I've been, Kamini, my physical therapist, gave me some prescribed exercises. I've been doing the clamshells, been doing the bridges, and things were really going well. Things were feeling better all over my body. And last week, she suggested walking backwards, which I mentioned on the show. And many of you spend time walking backwards, as I could see in the Facebook group. So this Saturday, I was doing my usual stretching on the mat. You know, I kind of warm up and I do a lot of these exercises she gave me. I also bumped into our satellite sister, Francie, which was fun. Longtime listener, Francie. So we had a little chat. And then I went to my usual body sculpting class. And the physical therapist had already told me, lay off things like lunges. Those would not be good for me right now. So it was all good. But then in the course of the afternoon, everything on the right side of my body below my waist started to really tighten up. And at first, it just felt like it was tweaked. But I had theater plans for Saturday night. And that here's where things really went wrong, because I was going to a very small theater to see Brian Dennehy, you know, who's great, perform two short one-act plays. The first was called Huey. That's by Eugene O'Neill. And the second, by Samuel Beckett, is called Crap's Last Tape. So not exactly holiday hilarity, right?
No. You know, it sounds like there would be a natural tightening of the butt cheeks while watching those theater productions.
Exactly, Julie. You know, Samuel Beckett is heavy going in the best of circumstances. But Brian Dennehy alone in a very small theater doing this, I thought, okay, totally worth it. So during the play, I really just started to ache. I was fidgeting and I really, really wanted to stand up. And it was a small house and there was room right next to me where I could have stood up and just leaned against the wall. But I was afraid that if I did and just stood there, that he would notice, because I was only like 10 feet from Brian Dennehy.
Right.
And that I would become internet famous by, you know, Brian Dennehy calling me out and someone capturing it on phone.
Right.
Like, did you notice last week this happened to Kanye at the Cher show?
Yes.
Yeah. Kanye was looking at his phone and one of the actors in the play called him out on Twitter, like during the intermission. Anyway.
Or they could have thought you were part of the production, Liz. Even worse.
Just the whole thing just seemed so. I suffered through it. I had to look up the play, Crap's Last Tape, when I got home, because I had no idea what had happened. Because,
wow.
I mean, again, Beckett is hard anyway, but I was so not focused on what was happening on the stage. Anyway, I survived that, and I was worse the next day. So Sunday, I tried to loosen up, blah, 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 and I've been planning to go out Sunday night. There's a theater in my neighborhood that plays old movies. So I was going to see The Big Lebowski, because I haven't seen it since it originally came out, and I thought that would be a mood lifter,
you know, sort of
the opposite of O'Neill and Beckett. But I was in so much pain that instead I figured out that The Big Lebowski is also on Netflix.
Netflix, yes.
So I spent Sunday night just laying flat on the floor.
Oh, Liz.
In front of my gas fireplace. It was very cozy. So flat on the floor, head propped up slightly. Of course, Hooper is licking my face because he's a licker. And watching The Big Lebowski, I'm like, okay, this is really not good. But I knew that Monday I already had my physical therapy appointment. So I went in, I told Comedy, like, last night I was in so much pain that I was watching The Big Lebowski laying on the floor. And she said, what's that? And I thought, if you want to feel a million years old, have someone say to you, a medical provider say, I've never heard of The Big Lebowski.
Okay.
So this is not helping my mood. Anyway, turns out what I have, she thinks, is a piriforma strain. Is that the right word, Leanne?
Yeah.
You said in yoga.
In yoga, we're constantly stretching our piriformis. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's in the hip.
Yeah. And but you know what felt great today? Driving to work, I fired up those seat heaters.
Oh, yeah. They're the best.
Liz, they are good. I mean, I do it every time I play tennis. Before I go for any kind of tennis match, before and after.
Really?
It's part of my training. Yeah. You got to add that to your
speaking of
operations.
Feeling old. Yeah. No, when you love your seat heater so much, you think of reasons to drive around in your car. Yes. Sorry, Joel. I didn't mean to cut you off. Sorry.
No, that's true, Leanne.
But I went from the seat heater, which felt great, to now, Leanne can attest, I'm sitting on an ice pack, Julie. Because, just treating that glute at all times. So I've got some stretches I need to do, but no lunges are allowed, no steps are allowed. And she actually thinks that maybe the walking backwards caused the problem.
Oh.
Because I was doing it on an elliptical. She said, if your feet are even slightly turned out and you did too much of it, that might have done that. So, yeah, I'm not going to walk backwards anymore.
No.
I knew that was a bad idea.
Yeah.
So the big test is going to be this Sunday, though. Because this Sunday, Leanne, you and I and your son Colin, we're going to the theater again.
Yes, we are.
Julie, at your recommendation, we got tickets to see Come From Away.
Oh, I'm so happy. I know you'll enjoy it. I know you'll really enjoy it if you can sit through
it. If I can sit through it.
There's no intermission, Liz.
Oh, that's good.
It's 90 minutes. Okay.
Oh, well, maybe that's good. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know if you can handle it. I hope. Yeah, bring your ice packs. You know, whatever.
So here's a fingers crossed is that I'll be stretching all week, and then the uplifting musical, as opposed to the sort of downbeat, oh my God, life is terrible, would actually, by the time I come out of the theater Sunday night, I'll be cured. That's my goal.
Yeah.
There you go. More on this next week, but that's the right butt cheek report for today.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you this. I'm not going to be massaging your glute halfway through that play. Don't look to me to provide any medical care.
I never would, Leanne. I promise you.
Oh, well, I do hope you feel better, Liz. That's that's terrible to have a strain. Take it easy. Rest and relax.
I will.
You know, it is with really heavy hearts that we wanted to take note of the passing of Dr. P.M. Forney. As Leanne said, he was professor and co-founder of the Johns Hopkins Civility Project. He's author of two great books, Choosing Civility, 25 Rules of Considerate Conduct, and The Civility Solution. But he is most beloved here at Satellite Sisters because he was the Satellite Sister envoy of civility for many years. You know, he was on our radio show. He would come on each week to talk about civility and use examples from his book and use examples from our lives. You know, I mean, if you don't know these books, I can't think of really a more perfect holiday gift this year. I really can't. Choosing Civility, 25 Rules of Considerate Conduct. It's a very short book. But without a doubt, it's one of the most important books I've ever read. And The Civility Solution, his book, his second book, which is, I can still hear Dr. Forney say, you know, you need to be kind and not be rude, but you don't have to be a doormat. Mm-hmm. And The Civility Solution was how to deal with difficult situations in your personal life, in your professional life. You know, and he did all of this, you know, if you look at Choosing Civility. He wanted to write about civility because it really was about kindness. That's what the book was about. He wanted people to put civility in their life, to have it be a central concern, because if we did that, he wrote that you would lead to a good, successful, and serene life. How about that? You know?
Yeah. He was such a pleasure to talk to every week. And the fact that he was a professor of Italian literature at Johns Hopkins meant he also had an awesome Italian accent,
right,
which was really nice.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, there's so many things. I mean, I have gone to that book so many times and I've recommended it to so many people. But one of my favorite rules of the 25 rules is rule number 2, acknowledge others. And I can remember Dr. Forney gave us a very simple example, something that he asked us to practice each week. He said, wherever you go, whether you're going into a grocery store, a coffee shop, a restaurant, you're at the airport and someone is providing you with some basic service, take the time to look the person in the eye, to acknowledge them, and to stop and thank them for what they're doing. And it was, you know, it's something, you know, we have so many people that come and go and you're particularly this time of year where you're rushing into the post office or the UPS store or wherever, you know, just to take the time to acknowledge others. I love that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Liz.
It's just easy to forget that you just think of it as a transaction, but it is a person. And we have so many service people in our lives in these.
My work at parties, I like to talk about other things. So I try to give other people the benefit of that doubt. So those were just two small things and they're conversational, but they stuck with me over the years.
Like, yeah,
that's just a higher level of sort of, as you say, Julie, dignity and respecting people, you know, their boundaries and barriers and, you know, other things to talk about besides sort of practical matters. Mm-hmm. So I appreciated that.
Well,
Liz, I know that, Liz, you have really adopted something that Dr. Forney always said on the show as your personal and professional mantra.
It's true, Julie. And I try to give him credit all the time for teaching me this. He said, I forget whether it was his definition of civility or what our goals should be just as we move through the world. He said you should always try to be calm, kind, and strong. And that just really struck me as a person. But then also in a professional environment, I thought, yeah, if you can pull that off, that is really a great way to be a leader, great way to be a coworker. But I moved the word strong to the front for work purposes. So I always say my goal.
Hey, with us, Claire Tanzi is with us. We are so happy to welcome to Satellite Sisters Claire Tanzi. She's a chef, a teacher, the former food director at Chatelain magazine. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
You could just say Chatelain.
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 Well, so you're Canadian. That's the official pronunciation?
Yes.
Okay. Claire focuses now on inspiring home cooks with easy, fun, and delicious recipes. And we're really happy to be welcoming her to talk about her new beautiful cookbook, Uncomplicated, Taking the Stress Out of Home Cooking. Welcome to Satellite Sisters.
I am so thrilled to be here. I'm quaking. I'm so excited.
But, you know, you have been listening for a long time.
I'm a long-time listener, first-time visitor.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
And I don't usually make friends over Twitter, but we
No, not at all. Wait. Oh, sorry.
No, jump in, Joel. That's
we
right.
We had to share our love of the loss of cooking light.
We did. That's when we bonded.
Yeah, when I saw the farewell issue, like, and it says the farewell issue, I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to cry.
Yeah. Oh, that's what brought you together?
Yes, that was it.
It was the loss of cooking light.
Yes. Yeah. That's what we realized. We had similar palates. Now, of course, Claire has a whole book to prove that, and
I read the book, and you made things from the book. So,
many of the recipes, because this is actually the food I like to eat.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's delicious food. You put the steps in it that you need to put to make it delicious.
Yeah.
It's not all one pot, you know, throw everything in a pot.
No.
Just because it's uncomplicated.
No, and I mean, it's like...
I just want to make that clear. Did tell me it might be too complicated for me.
Well, wait till you hear the title of my next book. No. It's, you know what? I always think that I've been in the food business for 20 years plus. I've stopped counting at 20. And so if there's a step that you can skip or if there's like an ingredient you can add to really up the game of the recipe, I figured it out and we've done that.
You know, I wanted to start a little bit with your food philosophy before we talk about it. You have some great tips for holiday entertaining. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to preview one, which is dim the lights.
That's the best suggestion I've ever heard.
It's so good. That's an old restaurant trick. You know, why are restaurants so lovely? All that candlelight, dim lighting. Well, it's so that the chefs don't have to be that precise.
Right. Or the cleaning doesn't have to be that precise.
Cleaning doesn't have to be that precise.
In my home, I'm down with that. But wait, you know, how did you develop your food philosophy?
I grew up in a family that loved to eat. And so I think for us, it was just like, well, we were expected home for dinner every single night and we sat around the table and, you know, it was a home cooked meal, whether you liked it or not. And we were expected to make polite conversation with each other, with the occasional shoving of elbows underneath the table. Right.
Right.
Right. Of course, brothers and sisters. Every single family celebration was based on food. So with my aunts and uncles, my grandmother, it was like, okay, what are we doing for Easter? What are we doing for Thanksgiving? Should we add another ham? Should we? All that stuff. So the food.
Mention ham, Claire.
There's
okay,
a lot of
that's
ham.
Good.
Listen, ham
because
is my
we
favorite.
We could bond on that, too, because our
so
family
glad.
Usually travels with ham. So yeah. Carry on.
Because heaven forbid there not be enough food.
Yeah,
I mean, that is, we would all die.
Yeah.
I'm sure we would all just die.
Shrivel up.
That's right. But it's just such a source of joy in my own family. And I really wanted to, you know, obviously continue that in my own life. I have a husband. I have a little six-year-old. And so I just really wanted to keep that uncomplicated joy of cooking in my life and share that with everyone.
You know, did you go to cooking school?
I did not.
Okay.
I'm mostly self-taught and I did an apprenticeship. I, of course, have a master's degree in theater.
Oh,
of course.
You did. Yeah.
Of course. But I worked on the side in restaurants the whole time, putting myself through school. And then I was like, well, how can I put these two things together? Like all the years of schooling and education and my love of an experience with food. So here we are.
So how do you become a recipe developer? Because I think it's one of those things people think it sounds like a dream job. It is often portrayed in the Hallmark Christmas movies. The main character is often a recipe or cookbook author.
Yeah. Or a food critic.
Yeah.
Also good.
Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do.
because
there are just so many fun things to frame, Leon, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting FrameBridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah. Any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the FrameBridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift-giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and FrameBridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but FrameBridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why FrameBridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit FrameBridge.com or see a local FrameBridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's FrameBridge.com. Thanks, FrameBridge. Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling
sure.
there
yes.
with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
So, but how does it really work? Like,
oh, it's such a good question, because when I really wanted to figure out how to connect the food aspect of it with the kind of deep research that I love to do.
Okay.
And figuring out how stuff works, right? So how do you make a turkey easier to prepare? How do you make sure that it's always going to be cooked? And then how do you translate that into words that somebody a million miles away can read and then reproduce in the same way in his or her kitchen, in the same way that you did in yours? So
part of that is food science, right? The
most
sort of
definitely.
Chemistry of what the cooking process is.
And also just reading every other recipe about turkey and about every other thing. So just reading and then trying stuff out at home. And when I worked in the magazine business, I actually had a test kitchen. So I had a team of recipe developers, and we would work on stuff and try stuff out. And can you melt ice cream and then use that liquid to turn it into a recipe for scones?
Oh, what's the answer to that?
You
really?
Can, but it's not very good. So
two-part answer.
I have been there. I have done that. Don't do it. You don't have to do it. So it's all that trial and error and making, just really, I guess that's it. It's trial and error. And then through the process of actually writing the recipe and then, you know, trying to ask people to make it at home and see if it works as well for them. And you figure out what people need to know and what words in recipes really are important.
Oh, yeah.
Know, right?
Claire, that seems key. I mean, because you do get annoyed with recipes when they mention something or they fail to mention it or they don't give it to you in the order in which you really need to know that information.
Like, precisely. That would be. It's annoying. Yeah. And I must say, as a recipe developer, the thing you're trying to avoid at all costs is your reader being annoyed with you.
Yeah.
So, right? Yes. Well, to be honest, like,
you know, podcasters don't have that standard. I'm going to say mascarpone just to annoy one of our listeners.
Okay. We're not going to get into a fight about that today.
I'm from New England. We put ours in places shouldn't be in. So that's all I can say.
Fantastic. But if I write a recipe and it calls for, say, half a can of tomato paste, then I know that you're at home with another half a can of tomato paste. And what are you going to do with that?
Yeah.
Well, you're annoyed with me, right? Especially,
yeah.
Then you're going to be really annoyed when in a month you're cleaning your fridge and you have to throw that out.
Yeah.
So I always use the whole can of tomato paste.
Oh, okay.
Always. Listen, what's so wrong with adding another couple tablespoons full of tomato paste, right?
It can't hurt.
No, it can't hurt. And so it's all those things. You don't want your reader to be annoyed. And you also want the reader to be able to reproduce the recipe and, like, easily, without having too many questions, without wondering, is it uncovered or covered? You know, if I poke the leg of the turkey, how am I going to know if it's done? So you want to sort of avoid all that stuff and give her or him all the answers right there in the words.
I cooked the roast chicken out of Uncomplicated the other day. And Sunday night, we had a delightful roast chicken. And what I appreciated was you said, not only did you say, you know, poke the leg, it's supposed to run clear. And then you went on to say, If you're carving it and it looks like it's not done, here's how you cook it to get it right.
Because,
like, you actually went the next
remedy
step,
in the moment.
The remedy, because people pulled the chickens out too
well,
soon.
Well, it happens to me all the time, right? We
have
roast chicken probably once a week. There are those times when, for whatever reason, you're carving into it and you're like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
So cut that baby up, pop it back into the frying pan, put it back in the oven or turn on the stove, and you're good to go.
That was a very thorough recipe.
I have never heard that. That is great. That's great.
That's
news.
Real life cooking.
It is.
I won't tell you about the boyfriend who I forced to endure me. I'm going, of course, I always carve the chicken and then put it back in the sauce. Yes. Well, that's the chef's way. He's not the guy who turned out to be my husband.
He couldn't take it. Couldn't take the stress.
He couldn't take it.
That's the
So, Leanne, can I ask you a question about that? Because you've probably roasted a million chickens.
A million chickens,
life.
Yeah.
So, is that how Claire's recipe is different? Because it has that practical...
Right. That little extra step at the end was super helpful. Because as it turned out, it was a little... I needed to put
there
it back
go.
In because I had defrosted the chicken. I think it was a little bit colder inside than normal.
Yeah.
And so the breast was cooked, but the legs needed a little extra.
That's
and
it.
So I noticed that step.
And
I wasn't afraid.
And that's it. And it's a chicken, right?
Right.
Like, it's not going to be consistent, my chicken to your chicken to your chicken.
Yeah, right.
So you need to know those little things and not to panic when it happens. It's all right.
Well,
fix
that's
it.
The subtitle of your book, Taking the Stress Out of Home Cooking.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I think it works.
Okay.
I think it works. Okay, Julie, we're going to move into some actual, like, food stuff now. Julie,
yes, I have
a question
because over the holidays, Claire, I'm going to have a group ages 5 to 80. So a big crowd. It's the holidays. What would you recommend? You know, where you're going to have, you know, where I have a wide age range. I want to please everybody. And I don't want it complicated, Claire.
Yes. Well, you alluded to it earlier, Julie. It is a roast ham. I really think a roast ham is the solution to all of our holiday entertaining problems. It's the thing with a roast ham is, it's cooked when you buy it.
You really,
there is very little you can do to go wrong with a roast ham. So get a good ham from a good butcher. That's my kind of recommendation, one with a bone.
Yeah.
So that's really good. And then a simple glaze on top if you want. And then what we do, we did this for my son's first and second birthdays. We invited, of course, all our friends. He didn't have any friends when he was one. And we have a big ham, and then you get amazing soft white buns. This is like my favorite treat for myself. Soft white buns, lots of soft butter, condiments, and people can carve the ham. They can make a sandwich. You can have a salad alongside. If you've got gluten-free people, they can have the gluten-free bun. If you've got people who aren't eating carbs at all, they can just have the ham. It's very casual. It's very grazy and
Grazy,
right? It's not crazy.
Grazy,
yeah.
Like
it's
that.
Grazy.
Yeah. That's how we describe our sister Sheila's eating habits.
Grazy. It's crazy. Well, she would love a ham.
Yeah.
And get the hugest one you can fit in your oven because, of course, ham leftovers are fantastic the next day, the day after, the day after that. So that's the ultimate uncomplicated meal for many, whether it's a child. Children love ham. An adult or an older adult whose maybe teeth aren't working quite as well.
Well, that's a challenge.
Mm, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
I think the soft buns, I mean, that's a winner. That's a winner addition to, I mean, a ham is one thing. That's, you know, a lot of people do that. That's traditional. But I think bringing the soft buns, you know, having the gluten-free buns as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that could really work for my group.
And then,
thanks,
you know, if Aunt so-and-so, you know, has a famous kale salad that she has to bring, or, you know, so-and-so's potato salad, well, bring it, add it to the buffet, no problem. You're good to go. And we did this a few weeks ago because my husband was on call on a weekend. We were having friends over. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm solo parenting and cleaning the house. And now I've got to entertain a huge family with children who have, you know, picky tastes. So we did a ham and we did buns. It was fantastic. Everybody loved it.
So no mac and cheese. Did you need mac and cheese on the side of that?
You know what? As much as I think mac and cheese is always a good backup.
It is always.
I don't know. I think so. I just didn't have time. So yeah. I was like, to heck with it. I'm just going to do the ham.
I think you're more generous, too, in the if so-and-so needs to bring a kale salad. Because that's kind of where
you
I
not allow that?
No?
No.
But then you
have
the rule.
I try to be generous, and I resent the salad. If you
bring it, you got to take it home. That's the rule.
Oh,
yes.
That's a good rule. That's a good rule. What are some other just general tips for, like, an uncomplicated holiday entertaining thing?
For sure. You know, because this is the time when if you're going to get stressed out about entertaining, or if you're going to entertain and you don't normally, this is the time when you're going to be doing it. So I always say it sounds a bit weird, but you have to sort of think like a military general, just for a minute, and kind of go and do a bit of a backwards plan, like kind of a work back plan. Sounds extremely boring, but you get out your pen and paper, you plan the menu, and you plan the menu for the kitchen that you have. So don't have one thing that needs the oven at 450 degrees, the other thing needs 325 degrees. If you only have one oven, okay, that's going to make you crazy.
Right.
So
good
then
point.
You want to do either, I always say, you know, either do something big like a ham or do something braised like a stew or something like that. You can do it in advance, all in advance. You just reheat it. But you want to eliminate as much as possible anything that you have to do day of.
Okay.
So I try to keep that to maybe two dishes to do day of. So that means something gets served at room temperatures. Lots of stuff is made in advance. Something is just like open the box of Marcona almonds and use that as the appetizer. so you really need to kind of plan that, I find. And if you do that little bit of work in advance, then the day of you're not exactly putting your feet up, let's be honest, but you're at least a little bit more able to be present and enjoy the moment.
That's true, because actually, as a guest, there's nothing more uncomfortable than being at a house where the hostess or host is running around.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Cooking. And that stresses everybody out.
It stresses everybody out. And it's totally contagious. So if they arrive and you're in a good place, then it's going to be that much of a better party. And of course, I mean, this is where I get a little bit lushy gushy about life. It's like, you know, the best way to improve your happiness, reduce your stress, have a long, happy life is to have those connections, is to make those relationships and have that quality time together. So, you know, do it. Embrace it.
You know, Claire, I followed your menu. In the back, you have some good menu suggestions. You know, so family winter dinner party. Birthday party. Winter birthday party.
Right.
I did that this weekend for my mother-in-law who was turning 77. And we had some
amazing
older people. So soft food is excellent.
Yeah.
It's excellent.
You know, and soft food.
Yeah. But I...
There's no shame in soft food.
Listen,
okay?
No. Yeah.
No, soft food
there'll be a chapter in my next book, I'm sure. Soft things.
I mean, when my parents were around, we had some soft food issues.
Yes,
and
we definitely
so that's
did.
When I instituted the mashed potato bar
for
Christmas
delightful.
Eve. So
yes.
Just mashed potatoes as the base and then all kinds of soft things that you could put on top. There's There's nothing wrong with it. It was delicious, delicious meal. A lot of it I made ahead, so that was really nice. I'll put the photos. My photographer son was there, so he took some good photos.
Fantastic.
Of every of the pot roast I made.
Oh, the pot roast. Poor old pot roast. It got such a bad reputation over the years, but oh my gosh, is it not delicious?
Delicious.
It is delicious.
I would take a pot roast over a ham any day.
Okay, that I accept that.
Just to put in the word for pot roast.
Yes.
I'm with you.
Yeah. And does it make the house smell amazing?
People walk in, they're like, oh,
whatever it is,
home.
I'm loving it.
Yeah. I'm relaxed.
I know. So good. So
good. And you can make it the day before. And then I made your gnocchi. Am I saying that correctly or incorrectly?
Gnocchi. Oh, yes. And you had a problem with my old cheddar.
Yeah. Wait. Yeah. In your recipe, it said old cheddar. I was like, what the heck? What is that? Canadian? Does she mean I'm supposed to just literally like leave it open in the fridge?
And it's dried up cheddar?
What's
that's good.
What's ever in the back of your fridge?
I do. You know, sometimes recipes call for stale bread. Like, that's not unusual.
Okay, you know, leftover chicken.
Right.
Sure.
So, but old cheddar,
that's
I
hilarious.
I didn't even think, of course, it's aged.
Aged cheddar. Well, now, you've hit on a problem, which is what something that happens to recipe writers, which is in Canada, where I'm from, in the U.S., and in Britain, there are kind of slightly different words for everything. So I nearly came to blows with my editor about the concept of what you would call heavy cream.
Oh,
what we call whipping cream and what in England they call double cream. But in England, even it's still slightly different. So we had to have, I don't know, 4, maybe 5 conference calls about what we were going to call this in the book. And because in Canada, when you go to buy it, it actually says 35% whipping cream. And in the U.S., it says heavy cream. Anyways.
I don't even understand it in the U.S. I never know what the half and half, whipping cream, heavy cream. I don't know.
So I was like, let's just go for the number, 35%, because that's going to be consistent no matter what the word is. Oh, well, anyway, we went around the houses several times. So it is now the kind of slight mouthful, which is whipping, open parentheses, 35%, close parentheses, cream.
Oh,
oh my
gosh.
But wait,
the old cheddar, you just decided to go with old cheddar?
That's what we call it. Well, that's what we call it. So I didn't know that it has another name.
Aged.
Yeah, aged cheddar.
And I need an American translator, I guess.
Just literally didn't even occur to me. I was like, well, I'm just going to get aged cheddar cheese. I don't know what old cheddar is.
Okay, next book. It'll be old parentheses aged.
Now, I'm not a baker. So I made the lemon custards. Yeah, I don't bake. There's too much precision involved in measuring and stuff.
But were those lemon custards not the bomb?
They were delicious.
Yeah. They're so easy.
So easy.
Ridiculously easy.
I mean, I had to buy ramekins, so that, you know, was...
It's okay, but now the whole...
I think they're called ramekins.
Now there's a world of desserts ramekins. Open to you now that you have ramekins.
Yeah. Is it ramekins? I thought it was ramekins.
No, it's ramekins.
It's ramekins.
But ramekins sounds cute.
Cuter.
That sounds like the kitty version.
Yeah.
It's like the bunnykins version.
A ramekin of mac and cheese.
I think it's going to be a children's cartoon show. The ramekins.
Yeah. And they all live in little overturned ramekins.
Mm. See?
Adorable.
We don't say another word, Claire. That's a good idea.
Business idea.
Now I'm looking for dishes that involve ramekins. So I'm like,
yes.
Now that I have these ramekins, I got to buy.
I'll send you some recipes.
Okay. But
another book concept. So you're doing the soft foods book, and then you're doing the ramekins.
Yes. I got a lot of work to do.
But I may go for this. Liz, gingerbread bundt cake with lemon glaze.
Wow, it's
that
good.
That
awesome.
Sounds delicious.
It's so good. Do you have a bundt pan?
No. See, again,
oh my gosh.
I don't bake. It's
right.
A barrier to entry when you don't bake.
Yeah.
Because when you think, I got to try that, you don't have any.
Yeah.
Like last week in the house, I didn't even have sugar. I'm like,
oh my gosh.
I don't even have sugar. Oh why? What do you put sugar in if you don't bake? Nothing.
Coffee?
No.
Okay.
I need to get one of these fancy bundt pans.
Yes. Now that the picture in the book is of a particularly fancy bundt pan.
Yeah.
But just the regular bundt pan is actually almost even better.
But I want it to look like
I know.
That.
So that's the Heritage bundt pan. It's made. It's an American company. Like, it's a fantastic pan. And my big tip with the bundt pans is you got to get the PAM cooking, a baking spray.
Okay.
So it's a spray. It comes out. It looks really thick. And it's got a little bit of flour right in it. And actually, the people who make those bundt pans, Nordicware, they're the ones who told me about it, that if you use that spray on the bundt pan, it falls right out of the bundt pan, perfect shape, never gets stuck, releases absolutely perfectly. And then you have this gorgeous cake and it doesn't need frosting because it's already beautiful as it comes out of the pan.
Yeah.
I think you've just changed the lives of many satellite sisters in the Midwest who make a lot of Bundt cakes with that Pam cooking spray.
That baking spray is a game changer.
I'm going to put it on your Christmas list.
It's a good stocking stuffer.
I was going to give you a Bundt pan.
Okay, great.
Okay.
So we're making connections here, people. This is happening.
And put the baking spray in your stocking.
Yes, it's perfectly.
Yeah. I mean, I think that may be worth it. Like, I feel like I could achieve that.
Mm-hmm. You most definitely could. It is just like bowl and spoon. You don't need a mixer.
I don't have a mixer. Yeah. So that's also,
right?
It's really hard. Like, when you're like, oh, forget it. I'll just go buy the Bûche de Noël.
Yeah.
Am I pronouncing that correctly?
You got that. Spot on. Spot on.
Claire, this is so fun.
We're going to do a whole food show where Leon is just going to pronounce
and I'll just
foreign
fix everything.
Foods. Yes, that's good, Leon.
Well, listen, that lemon custards was originally called lemon pot de creme.
Oh.
Yes, but I was like, I feel like pot de creme sounds too complicated. Let's just call it custards.
It does.
You know, it's funny because when I served it, I said, well, it's called custard, but it's really a pot de creme. That is what I said to my family. So... it wasn't technically a birthday cake, but my mother-in-law brought her own dessert.
That's good.
Oh, she's a serious baker.
She's a serious baker.
So yeah, that's you why can't bake with your mother-in-law in the house.
Oh, no. Dear. So that she brought her own key lime cheesecake. So
nothing. That's not too shabby.
No, I know. No, she's a very serious baker. So normally, again, but now I got the ramekins. So there's no stopping.
We're good to go. That can be your new signature dessert.
It is.
The lemon pot de creme.
It is.
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life. Aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo, you can literally see your skin get firmer and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know, we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea. Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. Mm-hmm. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Lee and Dolan? Yes, I do. Do I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, pros, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Lian's. Okay? And I'm using it. Pros isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, pros, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Lian and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, pros. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E. Pros.com/sisters. Thanks, pros.
All right. So your book, Uncomplicated, Taking the Stress Out of Home Cooking, it's available. How do Satellite Sisters listeners get it?
So probably the easiest way is through Amazon.
Okay.
And you can buy it there. You can review it there if you buy it and love it. It's going to be in some bookstores. Of course, it's all over Canada as well. but probably the safest thing to do is just go to Amazon and pick it up there.
And what is your next book about?
Well, the next book is obviously going to be called Complicated. I don't know. TBD.
No, it's going to be called I Was Just Kidding About Uncomplicated.
Yeah, precisely.
I'm a big believer if you have to wash extra pans, the taste will be worth it. That's what I think. Right? It's worth it. A few extra pans is always worth it.
Which is why I dine at Lian's instead of cooking at home.
That's a good idea. Claire. No, really, the other tagline for this book before we had the one it has on now was getting you to delicious with fewer dirty dishes.
Oh,
you see? So yeah, I don't like being left with a sink full of dirty dishes. It's no
Sometimes
fun.
Sometimes it's worth it, though.
I know, but if you can avoid it, wouldn't that be good too?
That's true.
There you
That's
are.
True. That's true.
Well, Claire, can I ask you if there was one thing that you could tell all the home cooks, to add to their cooking? Is there one simple tip? Is it a spice? Is it lemon juice? Is it fresh herbs or more butter? Anything that you would recommend?
Well, at the risk of inciting the wrath of the Satellite Sisterhood, I'm going to say salt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I teach a lot of culinary classes, and I find people are so afraid of salt because, there's a lot of sodium issues in the world, blood pressure, that sort of stuff. I'm telling you that the salt that you add to the real food that you make at home, that's not giving you high blood pressure. It's the packaged pizzas. It's the fast food. It's the stuff that comes out of cans. So salt is the difference between a dish tasting delicious and a dish tasting unforgettable. So next time you're wondering, what does this need? Lemon juice is great, but a sprinkle of salt might help you.
I have the same conversation with Sheila every time she comes to our house because she's like, because I finish with salt, but I don't cook with a lot of it. Sheila eats out a lot. And she's always saying, you put salt on this? I was like, you eat so much more salt at the coffee bean and tea leaf. And what do they always say on Top Chef? Not enough salt.
Not enough salt.
These are great chefs. They get dinged. Could have used salt. They said that this week. Some guy's ricotta. Could have used more salt.
There you go.
All right, Claire, we have really enjoyed having you on. You have to go do some television appearances.
I could stay all day. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we are so happy to have you here. This is a beautiful book. Thanks for sending to us. And it's great to meet you in person.
You too. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, what a pleasure.
Jill, you have the color of the year for us, don't you?
This is big news. Pantone color of the year for 2019 is 16-1546 Living Coral. Now, but here's the reason I'm mentioning it. Wait till you hear what they say about Living Coral. This is a color that is animating and life-affirming. It has golden hues, undertones that energize and enlivens. This color is capable of connection and intimacy. It's sociable and it's spirited. It encourages lighthearted activity, and it symbolizes our innate need for optimism and joyful pursuits and the desire for playful expression.
Wow.
Wow. 2019 is going to be a great year.
It's going to be a wonderful year, 2019. And this, they announced this, and it coincides with just great news about actual coral reefs, Liz, in Australia, that you know were ravaged by global warming in 2006 because of the heat level, you know, that the global warming had killed off many of the heat-sensitive corals. But guess what? Scientists now are extremely excited about the natural selection that's going on, and some of the corals, a selection of the corals, can handle the higher temperatures, and they survived. So I think the news about the real corals and the color coral are just, it's very promising for 2019.
Okay.
Good.
Good
way
to kick off the year.
Yeah, well, you know, when we come back, in the first show of 2019, we'll reveal our theme for the year. So maybe there's a coral theme.
Okay. Coral just suggest you go out and paint everything coral because
It is a beautiful color.
Yes.
It's authentic and it provides you nourishment and comfort and buoyancy.
All good things.
Buoyancy. I like it.
Buoyancy. You should just go to Pantone.com and read about it. It's going to make you feel better.
We'll put a link in the show notes for everything Julie just read.
All right, entertaining sisters, I have a recommendation that works either as a book or a movie or a book-movie combo. Okay?
Oh, wow.
So
good.
If you really want to, you know, work hard, you could read the book and then see the movie, or you could see the movie, then read the book.
Okay.
But the book is called Dumplin' by Julie Murphy. It's a YA title. And it's a really fun story, and I know, don't roll your eyes at me, Liz, because I feel it coming.
You're losing her.
Okay. About a teen beauty contest.
Yeah.
But it involves a great heroine that has a very positive body image, no matter what she looks like. It involves drag queens, and it involves Dolly Parton.
Oh.
Okay? So that's the book.
Bingo.
Dumpling. And that is a winning combination. So the book was a big hit. It's by Julie Murphy, published by Random House. So I got a copy of this. And then I watched the movie this weekend on Netflix. It just came out. It's a co-production by Jennifer Aniston and Dolly Parton.
Really?
Jennifer Aniston is in it. It has an unbelievable Dolly Parton soundtrack. The girl who plays Willow Dean, our heroine, is fantastic. The drag queens are great. I was a sobbing mess at the end of this movie.
Okay. That's what we want out of our movies, Liam.
It is. Just so if you have a daughter in high school or a son in high school and he's got some body image issues and you're just wondering how to talk to them or you want to make them feel good, this is a really body positive book, Dumpling by Julie Murphy. And then you can all sit down and watch the totally appropriate for most ages movie on Netflix. I could watch Jennifer Aniston do anything. I love her so much. I really am a big fan of hers. I just...
She should do more.
She should do more. But she did executive produce this, and she's starring in it, and she plays the beauty queen mom, the perfect beauty queen mom, who has a hard time relating to her daughter, who is less than perfect in her eyes, and they all come together over this, you know, teen pageant, and I thought, you know...
Okay.
Once you've seen Little Miss Sunshine, do you need to see another teen pageant movies? But you do. Dumpling, it's adorable. So I want to recommend both the book by Julie Murphy and the movie on Netflix.
Sounds like I could lay on the floor and take that in tonight or tomorrow.
You know what? Do it. I mean, just the Dolly Parton music is
I love Dolly
worth
Parton.
It. Like, if all your life lessons came from Dolly Parton, that
You'd
would also
be fine,
be fine too.
Yes.
You'd be totally fine. All right. And then I want to preview next week. I got a chance to see an advanced screening of Jennifer Lopez's new movie, Second Act.
Oh, how is it, Leon?
Terrific. I mean, it's terrific. You're going to.
I love Jennifer Lopez.
I do, too.
You can have your Jennifer Aniston. I'll take my Jennifer Lopez. She is underestimated, I think. I just love her.
She is. And if you love her, you will love this movie because everything you love about her is all in this movie. All the scenes.
Oh, great.
I'm going to break it down next week. We're going to be talking more about the movie next week and the concept of second acts. Like, what would you do in the second part of your life if you got a chance, if you could kind of turn things around? around and make amends.
Oh.
So look, this week on the Facebook group, I'll be posting a question to that effect. I haven't actually formulated the question yet, but keep your eye on that Facebook group because it's coming. But the movie, I can tell you, is delightful. It opens December 19th. Circle it on your calendar. Take your girlfriends. Okay. It's really fun. I laugh out loud. I laughed out loud.
Really?
And
wow.
I don't laugh out loud.
You're a high standard.
I know.
If you can make Leah laugh, yeah. That's good.
I cried at Dumpling. I laughed at Second Act. I'm either losing it or these were good entertainment properties. That's it.
Okay. Another holiday recommendation we want to make is how to give your friends the gift of a podcast. You know, lots of you say, how can we help the Satellite Sisters? Or we just love podcasts, but maybe our friends are tired of hearing us talk about podcasts all the time. So there is a new place for you to go to be able to give the gift of podcast. It was created by Satellite Sister, friend of the pod, Gretchen Rubin. You know, she does the podcast Happier with her sister, Elizabeth Kraft. Elizabeth Kraft, then her alter ego, Liz Kraft, does the podcast Happier in Hollywood with her writing partner and best friend, Sarah Fain. So Happier in Hollywood sort of put this together. And here's the thing. We're going to put the link in the show notes, and we'll also post it on the Facebook page and the Facebook group. But you go to giftofpodcast.com, and you can just download a PDF that really, it's so simple. You just fill in the name of your favorite podcast. You can decorate it. You can write anything else you want. And you're writing a gift certificate to friends of yours. And then you just roll it up. I say put a little bow around it. It's the perfect thing to pass out to your friends at the office or put as a little stocking stuffer. Or if you're just going to a Christmas party at your friends and you want to recommend some of your favorite shows, it's like the simplest way to do it. And Leon, you know that I was, at first I thought that it was some high techie kind of thing.
Right.
Where you, and then I realized, oh no, you just print out the gift certificate and fill it in. So super easy to do. You can do it, people. And then the second page is instructions about how to download and subscribe to podcasts. So if you have friends who are really just at the beginning of their podcast adventures, super simple step-by-step instructions on how to do that. So it's giftofpodcast.com. This is the best way to share your favorite podcasts with your Satellite Sisters and Misters. So Julie, what would be, if you were sharing, let's start with Satellite Sisters. And then, of course, we love Happier and Happier in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. What else would you put on a good list, Jewel?
I have two. One is The History Chicks. I love that. I love that podcast because it takes you somewhere where, you know, you haven't been, or maybe you were, but you've forgotten, or maybe you knew a little bit about a topic, but not the way, there's a lot more to know.
Yeah.
And then the second podcast that I would recommend, and it's not just because you're my sister, is Safe for Work. Okay. This is Liz's other podcast that she does with Rico Galliano. And the thing I like about that show, Liz, is, you know, I work in a closet. So It's not like I'm in an office but I learn something on your podcast every time I listen to it.
Wow.
It makes me feel better. It makes me want to do, you know, I think about human relations. I think about being a better person. Hats off to you guys. I really like those shows. So one takes me away and one tries to make me a better person. And I like that.
Okay, Leon, how about you?
Okay, I want to recommend The Frame. I've recommended this before. It's an arts and culture show that's mm-hmm. produced by KPCC Radio here in Los Angeles. But the interviewer, John Horan, just does a fantastic job diving deep with creative types here in L.A. About everything. I just listened to a fascinating interview with the creators of Come From Away.
Yes, me too.
I know. Wasn't that great?
Yeah.
It just like brought tears to my life. How about the one with Mark Ronson the other day about writing Shallow?
Yes. What it's like to work with Lady Gaga, in the studio.
So he's not smarmy. He doesn't make jokes.
Yeah.
There's no like complicated setup. It's just a really smart guy talking to really interesting people about their creative lives. I like it. It's called The Frame. And the second one is one I discovered before I was going to Rome last year, The Bittersweet Life podcast. It's hosted by two women, Katie and Tiffany. One's a former radio professional, but they were expats together in Rome for many years.
Mm.
And they like a lot of the same things I like, classic food, talking to people.
Do they like Mark Cipone, Leah?
Reading books. I'm sure they... I'm sure they know
don't
how
get into that.
Pronounce mascarpone, Joel. I'm sure they do. But it doesn't matter. So I like it. It's called The Bittersweet Life. They talk to a lot of expats all over the world. If you have a fantasy about what it's like to live in Rome and, you know, be part of that culture, mm-hmm. it's great for you. I just really enjoy it. It's relaxing. It's like two women talking about their experience, but at a higher level. They add a little production value and they get great guests, really interesting guests. So I want to recommend The Bittersweet Life podcast.
Okay, well, it's the season of sharing, so we say share the sisters and share all of your favorite podcasts. So you'll see the link in the show notes, giftofpodcast.com, for the downloadable gift certificate.
Okay, we would like to thank our engineer, Sergio Enriquez, today for engineering the show. We appreciate it, Sergio. He had to take out all the stuff we messed up today. So sounds super smart. Not really.
Not all of it.
Not
some
really.
Of it is still in.
Some of it's
if
still
you've
in.
Gotten this far in the show, you've heard. Yes.
Nothing like what I left in the Madam Secretary podcast the other day by mistake. A lot of dogs barking, and I thought I had taken all of the issues out.
Your dog has taken on the Balkans all by itself.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that Madam Secretary podcast, we're still doing the recap. That is up. We would like to thank our sponsors for today's Satellite Sisters. We'd like to thank Harry's and Care.com, Brooklinen and MeUndies for their support of Satellite Sisters. And we'd like to thank you for supporting the people that support us. All right. Our to-do list now as we wind up this week. Julie, what do you have on your to-do list?
Okay. I hate to even mention this, but I have a slow moving dishwasher disaster going on in my kitchen that involves water, buckling floors. Oh. So I believe that is going to be on my to-do list for a bit.
Oh, wow. Okay. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Good luck with that. Liz, how about you?
I am visiting a dog ranch, Leanne, later in the week. Mm-hmm. You know, I may need some dog care for Hooper in the event that I'm away for an extended period. So longtime listener, Kara Sundance, who you know, she's, you know, in the Satellite Sisterhood. She's a dog trainer and her dogs are in like movies and television.
Movies and television, yeah.
So I emailed her and told her what I needed, asked for some recommendations, and she recommended a place to me that I should check out. So Hooper and I are going for a little, you know,
meet and greet
up at the dog ranch on Friday, just to, you know, see if we are
okay.
We're both
good
we're
luck
cool
with the interview. I hope you two get accepted.
Yeah, it's like getting accepted to kindergarten here in Los Angeles.
I know.
It's the closest I'm going to get to that.
I
experience.
Think you should dress up, Liz. Okay.
And how about you?
Liz, this week marks the beginning of my own one-man for your consideration campaign.
Oh. For what?
For A Star Is Born.
Oh.
I just wanted to win all the Oscars. And I, you know, for many years I participated in boycotts of one.
Yeah.
But I realized maybe I should do something positive with my power.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm just mounting my own Oscar campaign for A Star Is Born.
Okay.
I think...
Okay, your position is it can't win enough awards.
I just think it should win all the awards. You know, I'm sure there are other very fine movies out there, but I'm just tired of movies that are sort of well-meaning and tedious winning. I want a lush, delicious movie to win all the awards. I can't think of any award it shouldn't win. So I thought, I'm just one woman, but I can do a For Your Consideration campaign. There's no law that says I can't mount my own campaign.
Be your own billboard, Liam. Do
it. That's it. So that's it. Today, this week marks the opening
okay,
of
we're
my...
launching right here, right now.
Yeah, A Star Is Born.
FYC, A Star Is Born.
As they say here in Los Angeles, FYC, A Star Is Born. So that's it.
Okay.
All right, sisters, fun show. Great to be with you. Liz, good luck with the butt cheek and everything.
Well, thank you
so
much.
Feel better, Liz. Yeah.
Thoughts and prayers. All right. Jill, good luck with the dishwasher. And don't forget, call your satellite sister.